Local news, local issues, local talk. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Well, thanks for joining us on the KUMA Coffee Hour. That's going to get started in just a moment. My conversation this morning with George Murdoch, Umatilla County Commissioner. Lots to talk about, and we're going to get started right after these words.
It's time to fly. At least we always think it is. The Walwal Regional Airport and Alaska Airlines are excited to serve you, our traveling public, and to see all the fun destinations you choose. So purchase your ticket today at alaskaair.com, pack your bags, and have fun exploring. The Walwal Regional Airport makes it easy to begin your trip with daily Alaska Air flights to and from Seattle and beyond. And remember, free parking. Fly Walla Walla. It works.
Local news, local issues, from the area's only live and local morning show. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Well, good morning and thanks for joining us. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour. Dan Tespin, your host. And sitting right next to me here is Umatilla County Commissioner George Murdoch. George, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning to you.
Well, let's quickly get into the meeting yesterday. It was a light agenda, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to let our listeners know if there was anything that came out of that meeting that we ought to know.
Well, normally that would captivate most of our conversation today, but there were 25 items on the agenda, but there really wasn't much of huge significance. Mostly it was routine payables, purchases of computers and that kind of thing, and we vacated a road, we replaced our inventory of culvert pipe, and all that kind of thing. We did have a number of finance items where simply we moved, transferred money from one account to another to cover things, but that was about it.
Routine stuff.
It was very routine. Well, I think maybe the most exciting part of the meeting was when they asked Dan Lanai. He's our director of administrative services, but he also serves as the county clerk, which means he oversees elections. They asked him to stay and just talk about where Umatilla County is in terms of elections, because one of the things we've tried to do is increase the voter turnout. I, for life of me, can't understand why we have so much trouble getting people to vote. And normally we're 36th in the state, if you can believe that. Dan thinks we might have moved up to 34th, which is still not much. But, you know, it appears less than half the people in Oregon who are eligible to vote voted. And that's disappointing. And we were about at that point ourselves, but still way below where we ought to be. I just don't understand it. He also pointed out to us that 25% of the ballots were received on the last day, and yesterday was Wednesday. They got 300 to 500 more ballots through the mail, and they'll be getting ballots all week. But the final thing he told us was he didn't think that even though we're still getting ballots, and well, for some time, he didn't think that's going to change any of our election outcomes. They actually don't certify until after the 29th, and so there is no definite victors, but it's pretty easy to read the tea leaves and know where we are.
Well, let's talk about the election. What is your take on it at national, state, on the local level?
Well, yeah, it's I can talk locally as a commissioner. When we get to state and federal, I'm afraid I'm going to have to make it very clear that I have different views on it. But at the local level, we had two fine candidates running for commissioner, and we think we know who was elected, obviously. Cindy Timmons has a commanding lead. But I think we're fortunate as a county that we had, because I just having served 10 years, it's not for the faint of heart to be a county commissioner. And I think for us to have two fine people wanting at the end to be a county commissioner. I applaud them and admire that. And beyond that, we didn't have any huge issues. The psilocybin initiative, I believe, we're not going to have magic mushrooms in the county. But typically, Umatilla County has, you go back to ballot measure 110, which is an absolute disaster across the state. I mean, everybody's wondering why drug addiction is going up at the rate it is, when in fact the people voted to have it happen. So, but I think the people of Umatilla County don't share that philosophy. So that was the local level. The state level, it's interesting to me that I read yesterday that Oregonians are concerned about the state of the economy. They're concerned about inflation, where the average person is in terms of, you know, just their ability to get along from day to day. But there again, the outcome of the election was actually business as normal at the state level. The same people that have been signing off on all the measures in the past are maybe it's been reshuffled, but there's Oregon shows, it's interesting to me, Oregon shows, if you look at a map of the states across the country, clearly Oregon, Washington, and California show as blue states. There, then you look at a map of Oregon, and it is anything but blue. It is the wave of, you know, the national wave that didn't happen, there's still a red wave across Oregon. There's a pocket of blue, which unfortunately where everybody lives, and then there's a huge red. But I think still at that we're going to see some changes at the state level in terms of legislation, because the supermajority is gone, and the supermajority makes a big difference. So I think we're going to see a different approach to legislation, where both sides of the aisle will be having an opportunity to weigh in. I think one of the other interesting things is the fact that a third of the legislators are going to be new. Another one-third have never actually performed their legislative duties in the Capitol. So when the legislative session starts, assuming that they can get into the Capitol, I went by there yesterday, and it didn't look to me like it was under siege, but they think they're going to get there. But two-thirds of them have never even been in the Capitol to do their legislative duties. So I think the biggest thing, though, is getting back to the days when there's access to the public. It just frustrates me that, particularly when you have a supermajority, that the public is fundamentally shut out. So I don't know if we have time to go into the federal, but...
sure, go right ahead.
Well, I think the thing at the national level... And here again, you know, I'm partisan. I'm in a nonpartisan position, but I'm clearly a partisan. And as I draw closer to the end of my tenure, I feel a little more comfortable. But it just mind-boggles me the fact that there continues to be such a focus on an ex-president, and I don't know how long that horse can be ridden, and when that goes away, which I think it will, I think we're going to see a different battlefield, if you will. We're going to focus on what's happening right now rather than beating up on somebody who's no longer there. And I think we're going to see some new people emerge. I kept hearing the message, democracy is at stake. Well, there isn't a candidate in America, in my mind, who's more pro-freedom than the governor of Florida, who had an overwhelming victory, and Texas isn't far behind. So I don't know that democracy is at stake. I think these are people that wanted children to remain in school and spoke to a whole lot of other issues. I think the fact that we, and in this county, there's no question about it, we wanted to keep the children in school. There was no bones about it from the health department to the commissioners. But we've denied our children access to a free public education because they were kept at home. And I had teachers tell me that they were really kind of like this method of instruction. Well, they also said that even over half their kids were participating. Well, what about the other half? So I think federal level, I think maybe it's going to be a little more balanced in terms of power. But I don't think it's going to be less divisive, because I tried to go on and find election results from a neutral source, which once upon a time we could do. But the national media on one side or the other, there is no neutral source of information and where we're going.
The Umatilla School District was successful in passing another construction bond. What's your take on the voters showing support for the dramatic growth there?
Well, I think that's, well, I would be remiss if I did not start with an enormous amount of faith and trust in Heidi Sipe. Heidi Sipe, the superintendent. I've known Heidi since she started in public education. She is one of Oregon's most respected educators. She could certainly be working in a much larger district if she chose to do it, but she's totally committed to education. And I think the people of Umatilla know how committed she is to public education, how well the school district has done. I think they obviously are embracing their growth. And I think it also says that people in this part of the world support education. And I applaud the people of Umatilla I applaud Heidi for her leadership and the people of Umatilla for stepping out and agreeing to keep their schools in line with the growth of population.
All right. Well, I'm talking this morning with Umatilla County Commissioner George Murdoch. Going to take a break. Back with more right after these words.
Fall cleanup on your to-do list? Zimmerman & Company True Value in Pendleton has everything you need to get the job done. Here's Ginger to tell you more.
For fall preparation, we have rakes. We have bamboo, plastic, and metal rakes. We also have collapsible bins. We have brown bags for leaves that decompose, garbage bags already.
Zimmerman & Company True Value, open 7 days a week, and yes, that does mean Sunday, on Main Street in downtown Pendleton. Behind every project is a true value.
This time of year, leaves can cover storm drains and cause water to back up. You can help by keeping an eye out. If leaves are blocking a drain or catch basin, grab a garden rake and pull them away from the drain. Pick up and bag your leaves and do not rake them into the street. Remember, November is Free Leaf Recycling Month at Pendleton Sanitary Service. Please remember, only rain down the drain and help the city of Pendleton keep our streets clear.
Do you love giving your friends holiday cookies and pies, but never seem to get your dishes back? Stop by the Community Thrift Shop and find bakeware, plates and platters, even china sets for your holiday gifting. Unique pieces arrive daily, so stop in often. You'll find the perfect holiday pieces to complement your baking masterpieces. The Community Thrift Shop is open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Court Street in downtown Pendleton. Proceeds from the Community Thrift Shop support Heritage Station Museum.
Join Team Wild. Every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Wild Horse Resort and Casino will have a walk-in hiring event. Come meet their friendly team members for on-the-spot interviews. Wild Horse Resort and Casino has more benefits, including group health, vision and dental, 10 paid holidays, paid birthday leave, paid vacation, employer 401k match, education reimbursement, free meal on shift, and employee discounts. Working at Wild Horse is more rewarding, so come visit Human Resources on Wednesday for on-the-spot interviews and job offers. Wild Horse Resort and Casino, Pendleton.
Is pain altering your life? Listen to Angela Baum on how the Center for Ozone Therapy in Pendleton has helped her.
My pain started with arthritis in both knees. At first, you could take care of it, and then it became a constant pain. I chose ozone therapy because it was less invasive than other treatments. I definitely have less inflammation in both knees and my lower back, and I have no pain in my back after treatment 3.
If you suffer from chronic pain, call the Center for Ozone Therapy in Pendleton, 541-276-1752.
Let's get back to more live and local news from the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Back this morning with George Murdoch, Umatilla County Commissioner, and George, Cindy Timmons of Milton Freewater will be taking over your position on the Board of Commissioners when you retire. I say retire allegedly. I know you are a very active individual. But that said, we understand she was at Wednesday's meeting. Would you share your perceptions about her with us?
Well, you know, I know both candidates very well. I've known both. I was good friends with Cindy's parents. We've been social friends with the Bauer family. So I know both candidates very well. Some people thought, well, golly, that was, why was Cindy at the meeting Wednesday? Well, why was she been at all the commission, a lot of the commission meetings this fall? She has come regularly. Both candidates, I think, took time to come and meet with our department heads to learn more about what's going on in the county. And I sense that Cindy's going to hit the ground running because she has backgrounded herself. She does represent Melton Freewater in that area, but as I've also found out as a commissioner, you represent the entire county. You have to do that. And so, as I indicated earlier at the start, we're very fortunate to have two very strong candidates. It's interesting right now. We're going through kind of a transition in the courthouse because Bill Elfring left a little clock that sits on my desk, and I noticed this morning there are 51 days left on that clock. Well, we're getting to a point where we're looking, when you only have three commissioners, one-third of our commission is going to be new in a not very long time, and also we're going to have new leadership as the gavel passes to probably to Commissioner Doran. And so there's going to be some change, and so kind of going through a transition now of thinking, okay, it's not so important what Commissioner Murdoch thinks. It's a lot more important what Commissioner Elect. Well, she's not commissioner-elect. I have to remember that until such time as the election is finalized. But what Commissioner Murdoch's successor thinks, because that really is where we're going to be going forward. I'll never want to be a lame duck, but I do have to respect the fact that things are going to change, and we have to recognize that change. But I am quite confident that we have just an incredible, incredible group of employees. I'm so proud of our employees. I'm so proud of our department heads. Full confidence that the county will continue to grow, to be strong. We're very fortunate. I think we're one of the strongest counties in the state, one of the most stable counties in the state, and certainly financially, we're in good shape. While I will be watching from afar, I'm pretty sure things will go well.
All right. Well, we're going to take another break, come back, continue our conversation. My guest this morning, Umatilla County Commissioner George Murdoch.
Listen to the Coffee Hour any day, anytime. Find podcasts of past shows at mycolumbiabasin.com.
Need a ride? The City of Pendleton has you covered. Did you know the Dial-A-Ride Transit Van Service in Pendleton runs 7 days a week? To arrange your next day ride with Dial-A-Ride, call Elite Taxi Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 541-276-6476. This service runs within the City of Pendleton and the urban growth boundary, and cost is only $1 per ride. For daily schedules and other transit service the city provides, go to City of Pendleton's website at pendleton.or.us/transportation.
If you or a loved one is considering senior living, sorting through the financial elements can be overwhelming. Here at Mackay Creek Estates, we invite you to join us for a free webinar on Tuesday, November 29th at 3 p.m. with topics related to finance and senior living. The webinar will include topics such as what information to gather, VA aid and attendance benefits, and questions regarding power of attorney and guardianship in financial health decision making. Sign up for the free webinar today by visiting PrestigeCanHelp.com. That's PrestigeCanHelp.com.
This is Brian from Burns Mark Jewelry. Did you know that Oregon law requires other vehicles to yield the right-of-way to a funeral procession, and drivers are required to stop at intersections and allow a procession to pass? Other vehicles may not drive between or join the funeral procession. It's the law, and it's also the right thing to do. Thanks for doing your part in the funeral procession safety. Burns Mortuary of Pendleton, serving Umatilla, Union, and Grant counties for over 80 years.
Looking to the future and developing a plan most times is lost or set aside because of the hustle and bustle of your daily life. Michael Stratton with Stratton Insurance talks about the true versatility of today's life insurance choices.
Yeah, I mean, life insurance can be you know, purchase for a period of time or for a lifetime. It depends on the goals of the individual. Life insurance also does not have to be purchased for personal reasons. I think a lot of times people miss the value of life insurance for a business or a farm or a ranch. And life insurance can deliver a death-free benefit to help pay transitional costs, estate costs, and taxes. There's products today that will accelerate 40 to 80% of your benefit to you. It's tax-free, in your hand, spend it any way as you want while you're still living.
Stratton Insurance, one responsible source. Follow us on Facebook, see us in Pendleton, Hermiston, LeGrand, The Dalles, and online at stratton-insurance.com.
Local news and issues that affect you. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Back this morning with George Murdoch, Umatilla County Commissioner, and we started this program, George, talking about the election, and wanted to ask you, is the Greater Idaho Movement issue something that is being considered for a ballot question in Umatilla County, being that it, you know, it passed in Morrill County?
Well, it's passed in a number of counties in Oregon, and to be honest, I would embrace the sentiment that's embedded in the Greater Idaho concept. It's, as I told you a minute ago, I think that in terms of Oregon government, it ends at Troutdale, and Eastern Oregon is kind of just floating out here, So it's a great sentiment that we're frustrated, but as a practicality, isn't going to happen. We have a prison system out here that belongs to the state of Oregon that will house 10,000 prisoners. We have universities, we have community colleges, we have highways, we have so much out here that belongs to the state of Oregon. I'm not sure Idaho might like to take on a county like Umatilla or Morrow that are really going to town economically, but I don't. They've indicated some interest in Idaho, but I don't think that's going to happen. There's too much interdependence between the east side and the west side, even though politically it's different. A very close friend of mine was just elected chair of the Board of Commissioners in Multnomah County. In fact, I actually helped with her campaign because we're very close friends. We just don't discuss politics much, but because we're not on the same side. But she's a wonderful person, and I think if we can get past the divisiveness, you know, we have more in common than we realize. And this past year, I've served as president of the Association of Oregon Counties, and that's our continual message, that even though in many ways we're different, in many, many more ways we're alike, and we are dependent. Now, if the great event or the great tsunami or whatever it's called ever occurs, we're going to have a lot more unity because Western Oregon is going to come over here. And I've read some very credible analysis about what happens if that occurs. It really, Western Oregon won't necessarily cease to exist, but it could be years before they recover, and all of a sudden Eastern Oregon is going to play a much different role. So, you know, I understand why some of the counties have made that statement. I just can't possibly get to a conclusion that it's feasible.
All right. Are you hard at work on the budget already?
Yes, we start that in October. We're actually underway. We don't think that it makes any sense to do a budget just before the end of the year. Now, we haven't had to make too many personnel decisions as far as cutting back on staff, but there were times when that happened, and we just think it makes more sense to start our budget plan in October. We're getting very close to where we're going to send preliminary budgets out to our departments, and actually move ahead with the budget plan. I've been doing that for 9 or 10 years, and the baton's going to pass here pretty soon. But certainly Robert Paul and Marie Simonis are going to be there and make sure that we get to the end of the budget development process. But I like the way we do it. We're pretty well self-sufficient. We aren't waiting on the legislature to make decisions that impact us. And so, yeah, we're well underway with the budget.
And have you given any thought to serving on the county's budget committee once you've retired?
Well, that has been mentioned, but you know, I've been a school superintendent. I've been a lot of different things, and I while yes, it would be interesting to be on the budget committee, I also believe that sometimes you need to cut the ties and sit back. Maybe someday down the line that might change, but I think it's time for my influence as a commissioner to come to a conclusion on December 31st and not be inserting myself back into the process as we move forward.
And going back to the budget for a moment, how important is it that early start to figuring out the budget for the next fiscal year?
Well, I think it makes sense to give careful thought to what you're going to do. While a lot of things stay the same, we're able to really, I think, make much smarter decisions as a county because so much time is invested in thinking out different ways of doing things. And I've heard rumors within my colleagues that some other things might begin to change. And I think those have budget implications. And so therefore, it's something that you should spend some time doing, not just whipping something together. The budget isn't something that should just be done because it has to be done. It should be a thoughtful roadmap for where the county's going.
Talk to us quickly about property taxes. When do the payments have to be in by?
On November 15th, well, you have the option, of course, of making three installments, but the first installment has to be in on November 15th. The other day, Rachel Reynolds, our director of tax and assessment, told me that about 20% had been received, and that was not long after the went out. Still a lot of people. We have a drop box in Hermiston. We have a drop box in Pendleton. There are still a lot of people who want to come into the courthouse, stand at the counter in front of the assessment and taxation folks, and hand them their money. We have people that pay in cash, and they certainly don't want to drop it off somewhere, but they still come in. And so we're seeing a lot of people paying early and even paying their entire tax payment for the year rather than dividing it three ways.
If people have questions, who do they contact?
Oh, the assessment office. And I think it's important in a county that's probably a third of a county is diverse. That doesn't mean they don't speak English, but we have a staff in our county at both ends of the county that are able to answer questions at least in English and Spanish. And I would encourage them to call and get answers.
All right, fair enough. Well, my guest this morning, George Murdoch, Umatilla County Commissioner. We covered a lot of ground in the half hour, George. Yeah. I always appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again next month.
Well, yes, I think it's pretty soon we're not going to talk anymore.
Well, we'll talk about that next time.
Okay.
Umatilla County Commissioner George Murdoch, my guest this morning. That's going to do it for this Thursday. Everybody have a great day. We'll be back again tomorrow.
Depend on us for local news, sports, and weather. News Radio, FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, Pendleton.